an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Aboriginal people in Victoria, and indeed in this country, we never ceded our sovereignty. That's not a myth, it's a fact. There's only one treaty that I know of that was ever signed in this country, and that was the Batman Treaty. Back in 1800s, it was never enacted, it was became null and void. But what it basically said to me, that recognised, even back as far back as 1800s, the authorities then recognised us as a sovereign peoples. So that's some comfort. We, right across this country, have fought for our recognition as a sovereign peoples and our rights to self-determination for many, many, many generations. But in Victoria in 2016, the state government again asked the Aboriginal people in Victoria at a meeting what would self-determination might look like for us. And again, the response was from our people in Victoria, we need to be able to negotiate treaties. And that's not a new call. We've had our warriors in the past, we've had our champions in the past who've demanded. There's been people campaigning for treaties, but it's always fallen on deaf ear. But what's new about what happened in Victoria back in 2016, we actually had a government that said, they didn't say let's have treaties, they said let's explore the possibilities. And that's the first time any government has said that in Victoria, and to my knowledge, I think it was Bob Hawke, when he first came into power, committed to treaties by a certain amount of time, and that's when reconciliation was established, and it was needed to be established. So what was new was that we did have a willing government. So us as Aboriginal people thought, well, my God, they didn't just knock it on the head or dismiss it. They basically said, let's see how we can do that. So the challenge was on. The challenge was, how do we do this in Victoria? How do we do this when we've been colonised? Even though we might not have been the first, Tony, but we've been colonised for all these hundreds of years. So what happened was a working group was established. It consisted of 16 traditional owners in their own right from across Victoria. 16 Aboriginal people came together and devised a plan. And that plan was to actually, one, engage with the Aboriginal community. Two, assist government with setting up a piece of legislation. Three, setting up the Treaty Commission. One of the biggest criticisms we started to get from our own communities in Victoria was that the working group was too close to government. It wasn't independent from government. It was run by government. So the working group said, well, how can we achieve a certain amount of independence? And a treaty commission, which I'm now part of, was one of those achievements. The process has been driven by our community. It's not perfect, but it's a good beginning. It was clear early on that we first needed to establish a voice, a body. If treaties were on the table 200 years ago, it wouldn't be so complex. We would know 200 years ago who from what mobs can talk for country, who from what mobs have the cultural authority to negotiate treaties. But we're not living back 230 years ago. We're in a modern world. So the task was to develop a mechanism that government could talk to. And that's the Aboriginal representative body. That's my role. My role is to establish the Aboriginal representative body. The role of that body is not to negotiate a treaty or treaties. The role of the Aboriginal representative body is to develop, in partnership with government, negotiate with government, the treaty negotiating framework. That's the framework that Tony spoke about that is in British Columbia. Might not be that exact framework, but it will be the roadmap to advance in treaties in Victoria. And the other part of the work of the representative body will be to establish a treaty authority. It's the independent umpire. And also set up a self-determination fund. Now, we don't know what that treaty authority is going to look like at this stage. We don't know what that fund is going to do or what it's going to consist of. But we do know that that's what the role of the working group is. This process is set out in the piece of legislation that Tony spoke about, in the Advance in the Treaty Process with Aboriginal Victorians Act 2018. The body will not be establishing to negotiate a treaty. And it is my view, if we get it right, that framework should allow clan groups, nationhoods within Victoria, mobs, traditional owner groups to negotiate their own local treaties. I agree with Tony, there has to be that overarching framework that the body will be establishing. And there are some collective benefits that could fall out of that framework, such as a percentage of seats in Parliament, Aboriginal culture being compulsory taught in schools. There are other collective benefits that a treaty could offer. But more importantly, a treaty is also about true recognition. A treaty is also about empowerment for us as our own sovereign peoples. And treaty has to deal with reparation. It has to. And I agree with Tony, if that doesn't deal with all those things as a sovereign entity, then we should walk away from the table. And hopefully, if we're successful in Victoria, that's what our treaty negotiating framework will cover. The working group worked with government to run extensive community consultations to allow communities to shape the body. Between 2016-17, these consultations included meetings with Aboriginal communities in regional metropolitan locations, statewide forums, and they're a pain, by the way, treaty circles led by local Aboriginal communities, and they're still happening today. The state government have a number of grants that local Aboriginal communities can apply for to continue the conversations at a local level around treaties. I commenced work earlier this year and I've also been meeting with communities throughout the state. I'm confident that across these years we would have spoken directly with thousands of community members across Victoria. This year alone, I've spoken to over 1,000 Aboriginal people. Now, that's not the end of it. There has to be ongoing conversations at a community level. Otherwise, if we don't have community buy-in, everything that we strive to achieve won't happen. We have to have community buy-in. So a lot of work needs to happen at a local level. I believe we need to be inclusive of all our clans, our language groups, but also we need to be realistic. And we also need to recognise our current modern days of way we organise ourselves. As I said earlier, if we were negotiating treaties 230 years ago, it'd be very simple. Because of colonisation and the impacts of colonisation, it's very complex as we speak today. We need to consider how we bring along people who are living across border issues. That's a humongous challenge for us in Victoria. This is an issue that Aboriginal people in both Victoria and New South Wales have raised, and issues on both sides, how we could work together. The team and I have proposed, we released our model on the 24th and 25th of September, the model of the proposed Aboriginal representative body. It is now a blended model, and I use that language because originally our advice from the community was to get the 28 Aboriginal people who are going to be on that representative body. Advice we were getting from community was democratic election processes. And that's fine. But we do have programs or state-based legislation that currently look at, same as New South Wales, have your own state legislations that look at traditional owner groups, land councils in this case. In Victoria, we have the Traditional Owner Settlement Act. In short, we call it the TOSSER Act. We also have the state-based Victorian Aboriginal Heritage Act that attempts to recognise traditional owner groups. We also utilise the Native Title Act, and we have 11 entities at the moment in Victoria, 11 traditional owner groups. And some of them have all those statuses, some have one, some have two, but they all have legal status, legal recognition of their traditional owner status. So we had to recognise the existing mechanisms that were currently happening in Victoria. So in that democratic elected 28 Aboriginal people from across Victoria, we will have 11 reserve seats for those traditional owner entities. And I think that's a good blend of modern and old. The other thing that is challenging for us in Victoria is how do we ensure that we have an elder's voice within all this, right across the whole Aboriginal representative body? I think that's really important that we try to maintain as much cultural integrity in the space of an Aboriginal, Victorian statewide Aboriginal representative body. We have to remember, having a statewide body is not cultural. I mean, prior to colonisation, we didn't have a state. And so therefore, having a statewide voice is quite foreign. So we need to be aware of that. But we also have to have a voice who can make quick decisions and can negotiate with government on an even keel. The other thing I think in closing that I wanted to talk a little bit about was Tony's comments about, you know, if the Commonwealth aren't around the table, then it shouldn't happen. Well, I sort of disagree. In an ideal world, it would be awesome if we had all three levels of government around that table. But we're not in an ideal world. We had regional authorities, regional colonies before there was a federation. So, and there are aspects of the Commonwealth that need to come into a treaty, but that can be done when the Commonwealth have an appetite for it. So I believe if Victoria can achieve clan-based local treaties down the road, then I think we should go for it, because we can't continue to accept status quo. We've got nothing now, so, and we've got nothing to lose. So I believe if we're successful, there is a challenge. We have a state-based elections coming up. So that's one of the challenges that we're facing today. So I believe we can be successful down there in Victoria. And I think we've waited far too long for that empowerment and that recognition and treaties. So I urge you all to consider that. Thank you.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.